Well, this is Ed Stetzer Live, and I'm Ed Stetzer. I'm the Dean of the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. And, of course, every Saturday at this time, the most important role I have is to be your host, and looking forward to our conversation today. You know, we have some always interesting, I think, conversations, fascinating conversations. Last week, we had Sean McDowell and John Marriott on, and talked some about deconstruction and how to respond to that. And next week, we're going to continue these, just kind of a good tradition of years now, having conversations about cultural moments. One of the things I think that that maybe sometimes we don't talk about enough is the issue of, well, prayer and praying and pastors and more. So this is actually not a show geared towards pastors, but we're going to talk about pastors, which is kind of interesting. Now, I have a podcast called the Stetzer Church Leaders Podcast, which obviously is geared towards pastors. It's church leaders and pastors. And I've had Tom on there. My guest today is Tom Rayner. I've had Tom on there, but I thought it would be helpful for us to talk about, well, the topic at hand to our broad Christian audience as well. Let me tell you about my guest. Tom Rayner is the founder and CEO of Church Answers. It's an online community of resource for church leaders. So again, just like I mentioned in the podcast, Tom's very much serving pastors and church leaders. But what I found interesting is just having watched Tom's ministry for, I worked for Tom for 9 years, and then, you know, watched it for longer than that. In the last few years, he's really been a voice to church members. I'll explain more about that in a second. But let me tell you more about his bio and his street cred. Prior to founding Church Answers, he was the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources. That's where we worked together for about a decade. He also served at Southern Seminary for 12 years. He was the founding dean of the Billy Graham School of Missions and Evangelism. So you can already hear and see he's got a passion for growing churches, helping pastors, helping leaders. That's all over at Church Answers. He's the author of more than 24 books, including the book we're going to talk about today. We actually have some copies of it to give away, called When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede for Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. Now, before we get to some of the book topics in particular, Tom, I as I mentioned a minute ago, and I mentioned to you before we came on the air, it's sort of been this, I don't know, it's not a niche because it's like, I mean, you know, but I'm a church member, sold over 1 million copies. So, but it's kind of this space that you have been in that I didn't see coming. You know, I think we were working together at Lifeway when you started writing in this space, and you're sort of like writing to church members as you sort of became one, and we could talk a little bit about your son, the church you go to, but you, in becoming a church member, you kind of like are helping Christians in the pews, or in 2024, in the seats, to pray for their pastor in this case, to be a church member, and lots of other things like that. So welcome, Tom Rayner's show. Tell us a little bit how you got into that space.
Well, I can guarantee you, Ed, thanks for having me on. I can guarantee you I didn't get in with any smarts of my own. I'm not the brightest bulb in the chandelier. So how I got into this was basically a blog post that was an accident. And we refer to blog posts quite often, or articles, and if we don't think they're going to do well, we call it a throwaway. We know that we have a deadline to meet, and so we turn around and get this done. Well, I was doing 3 a week at the time, and my team was waiting patiently for the one that was due the next day. I told them it'd probably be about 5 or 6 in the morning. Please be looking for it. And I couldn't think of a thing to say. So what did I do? I said, I'm just going to write a quick blog post. And I'm talking about 487 words, if I recall correctly. Maybe I'm off 1 or 2 words. And I wrote this very short blog post called I Am a Church Member. And I just kind of forgot about it. Well, our mutual friend, Jonathan Howe, who's working with both of us, called me at about 9 o'clock. He said, are you seeing this? I said, Jonathan, define this. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, this thing is blowing up. And what he meant by that was, we were well over 1 million views in very short time. Wow. And I'm thinking, what has happened? And so the thesis behind this was very simple. What does it mean to be a church member? Now, Ed, I really can't remember why I wrote it other than the fact that I had to do a blog post real quickly. So if I could give you some grand strategy, and it says Rayner really has it all together. He had this strategy and he wrote this blog post, and now he's in this niche somewhat talking to church members about church leaders, pastors specifically. I wish I could claim that, but I can't. It's just God that allowed me to write that then the article blog post would soon become a very short book. And by the way, our my son, who is an admirer of yours and has worked for you, Jess Reiner, I was with him last night. He sends his best. He still talks about how you gave him, he gave him a break and opportunity in ministry. Jess was the one who said, Dad, if you're going to write this book, write a short book, because church members don't need something that is 70,000-80,000 words. He said, try to keep it under 20,000. And as you know, that's a very short book. I think it ended up being 12,000-14,000. And so thus was born, I Am a Church Member. And yes, it did sell over a million. In fact, it's about to cross the 2 million threshold. It's
no way. Right wow. Now. That's amazing. That's crazy.
It's still going. It is still going. And it hit the right kind of nerve about what it really means to be a part of the local church. And I was surprised that no one had articulated that in such a way that the vast majority of church members had not grasped it to this point. A lot of them had, but many had not. And thus, I'm in a niche that has no strategy, no wisdom, just a lot of accidents that happened. Well, okay, is God. But in the sovereignty of God, I watched it happen. So that's how I got in that niche originally. And as you well know, I've begun to do more books and more articles talking to church members about church leaders, specifically pastors. A long answer to a short question, a lot more than you wanted to hear.
No, I think it's helpful. I didn't even know some of that. So I think it is helpful. And of course, Tom has written lots of other books. I actually broadcast, my studio is here at Mariners Church in Southern California. And the pastor here is Eric Geiger. And Tom Rainer and Eric wrote a book together called Simple Church that became the best-selling church leadership book since Purpose Driven Church. And he just impacted a lot of people. Tom's written lots of books. Today, we're going to specifically talk about a book kind of in that, I guess call it a niche, is Tom's writing for you, the vast majority of our listeners. He's writing for church members, church engaged people about, well, how to engage leaders. And specifically, in this case, the title of the book is When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede for Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. I want to open up the phone lines as well. Our phone number, if you want to call, is 877-548-3675. Again, that's 877-548-3675. I'd love to hear about maybe ways you're praying for your pastor, ways that you're been, you know, maybe making that strategic or more. We are, you know, this Moody Radio is the network that we're on, and we have partners and affiliates, you know, over 200 outlets across the country, and we're super thankful for the different partners and affiliates we have. But Moody Radio, of course, is just down the road from Moody Church. And I like to say to people that I love the fact that there's a Moody Radio is a ministry of Moody Bible Institute, Moody Church. And again, they're actually separate institutions. I was the interim pastor there at Moody Church for a few years. But I love the fact that there's a church connection that's there. Tom and I are people who love the church. And so we also love the church as leaders as well. So again, if you want to call in, talk to us about maybe ways you're praying or questions you have, we're actually going to give away 5 copies of the book, not to people who call and say, I'd like a copy of the book, but, you know, with really brilliant and insightful questions like you always bring. Again, 877-548-3675. Again, 877-548-3675. Okay, so you talked a little bit about the I Am a Church Member, just phenom. I mean, just sort of goes all over the place. But so tell us a little bit then, what prompted you to write a book about people praying for their pastors? Because I don't know, if there's a niche within a niche, that's kind of a niche. Tell us about that.
It's another story, Ed. I pastored 4 churches before I went to be dean at the Billy Graham School at Southern Seminary, where you and I served alongside each other, just like you indicated at Lifeway as well. And my last church was in Birmingham, and I don't know what I was. Maybe burned out does not describe it, but I was certainly discouraged. I had a number of critics. I felt like my ministry was unraveling, even though there had been no outwardly sign of it. And I did something that probably wasn't the wisest thing to do. I was preaching a message, and before I ended the message, I got as transparent as I think I've ever been in the pulpit, probably more than I should have been. And I said to the people, and I want your audience to hear this, because this is where many pastors are. And I want all of you church member Christians to just hear what happened to me that put me on the path where I am today. So I was preaching, and I just stopped the sermon, and I spoke directly to the people, and I said, hey, I love you folks. I said, maybe y'all don't all love me. I think I remember saying that. And I said, but I love you folks. And I'm unraveling right now. I don't know what it is, but can I ask you to pray for me? That is all I ask. And I said, if you will, would you just let me know? That's all. That's all. Tuesday came. Frances Mason came to my office, one of the senior adults that loves me dearly, and I loved her dearly. She's with the Lord now. And she said, Pastor, I want to tell you that I took you up on that challenge to pray for you. Frances, I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you for that. She said, I hope you don't mind that I ask a few others, and we're going to pray for you daily at noon, wherever we are, for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, every day. I said, that's amazing. Thank you, Frances. She said, I hope you don't mind. And here's a list of over 100 people who've committed to do that. Wow. That was transformational in my ministry. That was transformational in my life. That was transformational in my attitude. When I wrote When the People Pray, which was many years later, I reflect back to one church member who loved her church so much, the Bride of Christ, who loved her church so much, that she was willing to pray for the servant leader called the pastor, because she knew that if the pastor was not healthy emotionally, physically, spiritually, that the church could not be the healthiest church it should be. And so it took many years before I finally wrote this book. It has been in my heart and on my mind for some time, but it's a message to church members. Pray for your pastor. It's a 30-day guide. It's a basic, and it goes over 30 things that pastors are dealing with on a daily basis. It really has two purposes to it, Ed. The first purpose is to get church members interceding for the pastor, for sure. But there is another purpose to it, and that's for church members to have an awareness of what their pastors do, confront, and deal with on a daily basis. And I really believe, and I love the way that Tyndale added the subtitle, An Invitation to Intercede for Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. I really believe that one of the paths to revival is intercession for the pastor leader. And essentially, you know, biblically, you're holding up the arm of Moses while the battle is being fought. The arms, I should say, each arm. And so it took me a long time to get to this point where I wrote When the People Pray. I'm grateful to Tyndale, who picked up on the vision and was willing to go with it. But again, a long story to a brief question.
No, but it's good. I want to talk more about this too. We're going to take just a pause for just a moment. We're going to give folks the opportunity to call in with their questions. We're going to see some folks coming in. 877-548-3675. Again, questions maybe about church, maybe about your journey. Tom's an expert on a lot of topics. You can go to edstetzerlive.com. We got a link to all of his books there as well. Your phone number to call is 877-548-3675. Last time, 877-548-3675. You're listening to Ed Stetzer Live on Moody Radio Partnership Affiliates. Hey, we're back. It's Stetzer Live here on Moody Radio Partners and Affiliates, and having with us as our guest today, Tom Rainer. I have a fun fact about Tom Rainer. Tom Rainer is the person I am most frequently accused of being. People come up to me and thank me for books that Tom Rainer wrote all the time. So they're like, man, I really enjoyed you when you wrote Autopsy of Disease Church. Now, Tom and I wrote a book together, so that's probably why. But it's literally like, I mean, I get thanked more for Tom Rainer books than probably my own books. And
that's
then
crazy.
What's so fun about it is that I say, well, that's Tom Rainer. And they say, Tom Rainer? Is that Thom Rainier? Because Tom's name is spelled T-H-O-M. So my life is first being thought I am Tom Rainer and then correcting people that it's not Thom Rainier. But it is funny because we've written some books together, and Tom and I served together for a while. So I'm never offended by that comparison. We both wrote in the and write in the same space sometimes. The book we're talking about today is When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede to Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. And I keep saying it is a book. It's Tyndale Momentum is published it, but it's kind of like it's a book and it's a journey. It's a 30-day journey. So it's not just, I think a lot of people might hear, you should pray for your pastor. And like, do I really need a whole book about that? Is that like, isn't that like a tweet? But, and you know, a lot of times a book should be an article should be a tweet, but this is a whole, it's a whole thing designed to help people. We're going to talk about that, but I also want to remind you that we're taking your calls for Tom Rainer, and our phone number here is 877-548-3675. Okay, so if you don't mind, tell us about a little bit about the book itself, because it's not just, you know, let's say 10 chapters on why you should pray for your pastor, because that would take one chapter. So how did you kind of build it out into this? It's a resource, really.
It's a 30-day book. There are different types of 30-day books, obviously, on the market. And in each of the 30 days, I challenge the church member to pray specifically about an area for the pastor. They're not always problems. They're not always negative issues. Some of them are positive. But it's just a double-edged sword in many ways. It's a reminder of the power of prayer, that when our church members are praying, that the church is indeed more powerful, because our battle is in the spiritual realm. And it's also this day-by-day reminder of what pastors do and go through and face and confront. And so every day is a one word, like comparisons, day 25. Many church members may not be aware that pastors can often struggle with being compared to other pastors in other churches, especially in the days of podcast. And before that, it was radio pastors. And there's people will come up to a pastor afterwards, and they will, this is what happens today. And after a pastor has preached a sermon, afterwards they'll come up to him and they will say, "You know, Pastor, that was a good message. Have you heard Alistair Begg's sermon on that? His is really good." I mean, that is a really backhanded compliment, if not a criticism. And so that's just one example in the book, just to remember how to pray for pastors. There's a lot of good things in there, but my heart gets overwhelmed for pastors at times, on a positive note and on a negative note as well. And Ed, at Church Answers, we have different levels of community. One level of community is just those who connect with us somehow or some way. There are 350,000 to 375,000 churches in the U.S., and about 250,000 of them connect with us at Church Answers in some way or another in the course of a year. Many of those are pastors. And then we have a very, very tight community where pastors interact with each other, and they ask questions and we respond. So this book has come out of my love for pastors, my experience with pastors, and what I'm doing currently with pastors. And by the way, it doesn't hurt that I have three pastor sons, and that influences me a lot. And my wife, Nellie Jo, reminds me that as far as the best preacher goes, I came in fourth. And I think it's a distant fourth. And I would affirm that as well. But I wrote the book so that you could go 30 days. Now, let me give you one example. I received an email from an elder group in a church. I think there were 11 of the elders, if I recall. And they're all going through the book when the people pray. And what I love about it is it's helping revive the church. I think God is using their prayers, and they would say so. But they're saying it's personally reviving them to intercede for someone who's been called of God to be in this role. So 30 days, a group can go through it, a small group, a Sunday school class, a leadership group, or the whole church can go through it. So it's something that I'm just beseeching, is an old King James word, that I'm imploring church members to do this, to think about going through this 30-day journey to pray for their pastor.
Fascinating. Okay, good. And again, we're taking your calls about this. We're going to go to calls in just a minute. Again, 877-548-3675. And I guess, you know, part of the, 30 days, so we're going to pray for 30 days, which the way it's structured, I think is helpful to give us the tools to do that, because it's like, well, I don't pray for my pastor every day. But you know, having some structure, what to pray for and more. It's also worth noting that it doesn't end with, okay, now you can stop praying for your pastor. We want to pray for our pastors regularly. I pray for my pastor, Eric Geiger. We want to pray for our pastors regularly. But so what would be the value of a 30-day kind of journey to do that? That then, do we just end it? How do we continue it? What's the value of it shaping the way we pray beyond 30 days?
I would pray, Ed, that it would be a culture-changing and culture-shaping book, in the sense that after these 30 days, and as you said very well, it should not be over, But after these 30 days, what do we have? We have an awareness, greater awareness of pastors and their lives and their missions and their families and so on. And then secondly, we have been praying for them daily. And so we have an idea that we can do this. This is not a long exercise for church members. Most church members could read one day and have a we even put the prayer in there if they want to make that a prayer of their heart. And they can do this in 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's very brief. And so the culture is changed toward prayer and toward a greater awareness. There are two main things in churches today that we believe, we at Church Answers and others believe, and I think you would be among those, Ed, that are lacking in churches, two major areas, evangelism and prayer. And it's not as much a program as it is we need to change our hearts and our minds. That's a culture shift. So when it's all said and done, my prayer is that church members will have a whole different perspective that will engender more prayer within the church.
Okay, good. All right, let's take some calls. Let's go first to Debbie in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Debbie, you're live on the air with your question or comment. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Debbie, are you there? If you could jump right in. Just go right in.
Here.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My basic question, we have a wonderful praying pastor, and we have actually compared our praying to him from holding up his arms. What he is facing right now is what we're all facing, and that is a church that is a denomination that is splitting down the middle. And that's a really hard place for him to be. What we are realizing, and this is something I've been personally convicted about, is that I don't love the church the way Jesus does, because I find myself getting frustrated and wanting all the right answers. And the conviction really keeps coming, love the church like I love the church. And that is helping me to choose an issue that has definitely got sides, which side to be on. How can a church, this is my question, how in praying for our pastor, which is also praying for our church, which he loves, how we might show the world how to disagree. Our culture disagrees very badly, but the church should show the world how to disagree, even over major things that are going to have strong conviction on two sides. Yeah. How do we show the world how to disagree?
Good. Debbie, if you'll hold on the line too, I want to give you a copy of Tom's book. It's When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede to Your Pastor. Tom will answer, and then we'll, the producer will come on and give you a copy. Tom, go ahead.
Debbie, first of all, let me simply say, I thank God for you. I thank God for your heart, for the local church. I thank God for your heart, for your pastor. In the few moments that I heard you speak just then, I heard someone whose heart is breaking for what you're seeing, which indicates you have a love for your pastor and a love for your church. And while I don't know your specific situation, I will say this, and I will say it specifically. We are actually dealing with a lot of this issue within the Global Methodist and United Methodist issue that is taking place, where a denomination is becoming two denominations. And so while I don't know if that is your situation, I will just simply say it is very common, especially in American churches today. So what do you do? What do you do in the midst of all of this? Well, one of the things you do is just what you are doing. You keep your eyes focused on Christ. You keep praying. You show the church as well as the world that circumstances are not going to change your faith. Circumstances are not going to change your love for your local church or your pastor. Secondly, become outwardly focused. Now, what do I mean by that? You may already be there, Debbie, so don't let me presume anything. The more you reach and the more you serve people within your community, many times on behalf of your church, the more your eyes will see the hurt, the need, the hope that you can represent. So when people are going through these divisions or struggles that are so painful, when they begin to look outwardly, when they begin to look like in Matthew 9, Jesus didn't say, pray for opportunities because there aren't many. He said, no, pray for workers in the harvest field because the harvest is ready. The harvest is ripe. So, Debbie, focus upon those ways that you can serve, those ways that you can get beyond yourself, which I hear you doing. The more you do that, the more not only will it help your heart heal, but the more you will be an example for church members and those that you serve within your community. Appreciate you, Debbie.
So good, Debbie. Hold on the line, too. Remember, we're going to give you a copy of the book, When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede for Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. Tom, we got just about 30 seconds before we need to go to our break. What do you think it looks like when a church starts praying for its pastor?
Well, there is unity, Ed, and unity is easy to see and hard to define, but you could say lack of conflict, but it's more than that. It's a church coming together. It is a church of a single purpose. And, you know, when we get on the other side of the break, we may even break that down just a little bit.
Yeah.
But the number one characteristic you see is unity.
Love it. Okay, we're going to continue our conversation with Tom Rainer. Your calls as well, 877-548-3675. We're talking about his new book, When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede for Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. Give us a call. We'll continue our conversation. Hey, we're back. Ed Stetzer Live. We have our guest today is Tom Rainer. And Tom and I at the privilege of working together in two different places and continue to just hopefully serve the church together as well. He's got a new book called When People Pray, an invitation to intercede for your pastor and revive your church. And so we're talking about some of the issues in and around that. And I want to kind of come right to the calls, because I think we got a couple of good questions, I think, sort of coming in. And so let's first go to Deborah. And Deborah is up in Central Washington. We're going from Chattanooga to Washington. So, Deborah, you're live on the air with your question, your comment. Go right ahead.
Hello, friends. I am a pastor's wife. And forgive me, I haven't had the opportunity to read your book yet. I look forward to it. I guess two things. One, to remember to pray for the wife or the husband of those serving in the Lord, because it's really, really hard. I'm going to get emotional. Forgive me. And also for their children. We happen to have two adult children, and I have seen struggles in them as a result of being called into the pastorate. And then my second point or question is, how can I, as the wife of the man standing in the gap, pray for him when I know him, but then I also am serving my loved ones and friends in the church? Thank you.
Gosh, Deborah, what an amazing call, and so thankful for you too. If you'll hold on the line, after Tom answers, our producer will come on and give you a copy of When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede for Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. And in this case, I love the fact that your pastor is your husband. Such good insight and question there, Tom. What do you think?
You know, Ed, these first two calls just remind me of how many great people we have in our churches. Debbie and now, now Deborah, who just, you can hear their hearts, if you will, as they ask these questions. Deborah, yours is so well articulated. There's no coincidence that in this 30-day book, it begins with God, day one, day two, wisdom, and day three, family. There's not a coincidence to that order there, relationship with God, wisdom to lead, and then the family. You are so right, Deborah. Many pastors, spouses, and children are hurting deeply. And so when you are praying, and I'm not just speaking to you, Deborah, I'm speaking to others who are out there. When you are praying for your pastor, you must, you should, and that's why we put this in day three, be praying for the families. We often don't see the hidden hurt of spouses, because they will see their pastor spouse hurt, and most of the time can't say anything about it. And then the children who know that they're in a glass house, and they really don't know how to respond to what's happening to my parent who is a pastor. So the first thing I say to all you church members out there, pray for the pastor's family, pray for the spouse, pray for the children, pray for them, because the pastor is going to have much difficulty being an effective leader, being an effective servant leader in the church, if that is not a healthy family around him. And then the question that you had, Deborah, about, you know, how do you pray for him? And you said something that I love, because I know him. I'm thinking about my wife, Nellie Jo, who knows me so well after 46 years of marriage. And boy, she's seen a lot of flaws. She still does. And the fact that you are willing to pray despite all the flaws, it's just a reminder. Christ, through the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us and all of our frailties and all of our problems. And you are interceding for your husband in this case. Don't stop. Don't stop even when you don't feel like it. Don't stop when maybe the band does not measure up, because I've been there so many times. Just keep on being faithful. And Deborah, I want to say this for you. I didn't say it, Debbie, in the first call. I promise I have put both of you on my prayer app, and I promise I'm going to be praying for you, because I just love your hearts and the way that you love the church and love your pastor, and in your case, Deborah, your husband.
Mm, I love the callers we have. So we have such great callers. I want to take a little diversion from this, Deborah's question, because I think it leads to, I mean, there is, you know, I have three daughters, you have three sons. And one of the reasons I really decided I liked Tom Rainer was to, when I saw three sons want to follow him in the ministry. And of course, I know two of your sons better than Art. But all three, just, you know, following in your footsteps in different ways. But following your footsteps. But it is, I mean, there are challenges to being a pastor's kid. And I think that Deborah's right. We need to pray for, you know, in this case, our wives and our kids. We want that to be the case. What are some specific ways you encourage people to pray for, maybe in the book or in general, for the family of a pastor as well?
Well, first thing you can do is pray that they will have true friends. Oftentimes, mm-hmm. when we talk to pastors' spouses and pastors' kids, they say, "I just don't have any friends in the church." And it doesn't mean that they have to have friends in the church, but they need some type of friends in there. Also, pray that the pastor's wife in the case of Deborah and the kids, pray that they will have the protection from the enemy. I mean, basically putting up a shield of prayer around them, so that you may not know the specifics of how you need to pray for them, but God through His Spirit does. And if you're praying for them to have protection from the enemy, that is indeed a way that you can be praying for them. And I would not discourage you. In fact, that's a double negative. I would say I would encourage you, if you think it's appropriate, to go up to these pastor spouses and these kids and say, "I just want to pray for you. How can I do that?" They're going to be surprised when you do it, because not many church members do that. But try it and see what you hear from them.
Hmm. So good. So good. Okay, let's go to, I think it's a pseudonym. We're going to go to Jane in Chicago. Jane, you're live on the air with your question or your comment.
Yes, thank you so much. I think this is wonderful. And I'm also a pastor's wife, and just wanting to find out, how can we actually get the church to pray, to understand that this is a great need? And I so relate with Debbie a while ago, and just want to know, how can, or what are the best ways in order to do this, to get the church to understand that the pastors need prayer, and the family too?
Super. Yeah, super question, Jane. I'm gonna help one way, give you one suggestion right now, is to use the book, and we're going to give you a copy. Maybe hold on until after Tom answers. Our producer will come on the line. But it's When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede for Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. But beyond that, Tom, what are some ways that you would suggest to kind of, because it could be, I would imagine, like, you know, I'm thinking of Jess, your son, your pastor, you know, you're his dad, so maybe it's easier. So let's maybe not use Jess as an example. But I'm thinking, like, how do I pass out books as a pastor and say, "Okay, everybody, let's do a 30-day pray for me challenge"? So how does that happen in a local church?
Here's one of the great news that we have discovered when we did beta tests, and you know what I'm talking about when I do beta tests, where we actually ask some people to go through this and tell us what they did. Well, some pastors took the manuscript of the book and they tried it in this church. And what I mean by it, they actually stood before the people and said, "Hey, I need prayer." It goes back to my story that I told him when I was a pastor. And I know it's presumptuous of me to ask it, but can I just ask you to pray for me? And if you're willing, just come up to me. I got a 30-day guide. I know it sounds presumptuous on my part to be giving out a guide to pray for me, but if you're willing, would you do it? Because I really need it. That's one way. Now, not all pastors will feel comfortable. I did mention that to Jess, my pastor, and I mentioned it to Sam, my Florida pastor, two of my sons. And they said, no, Dad, we're not going to do that. So what did I do? I handed the book to some key leaders in the church. And I said, would you look at this? And if you feel like it's something that maybe you could talk about or even start within church, do it. I don't want to put you on the spot, but somebody you trust. I handed the book to Dave in one of the two churches that I just mentioned, where my two sons are pastors. And I left it between him and the Lord. And so it's okay to say, would you just look at it? Someone you trust. And once you hand that book out, or just a request for prayer. It doesn't have to be Selling Time's book, just a request for prayer for pastors. Once you do that, I think you're going to be surprised at the response in a good way, because when we did this with pastors and with church members, I think it was with unanimity, and I'd have to go back to confirm that I'm giving the correct facts. I think it was all the pastors who did it had a surprising to them positive response from church members.
Yeah, I think it would be, and this is a great thing. I mean, I think, Jane, it would be appropriate even for you to say, hey, let's do something like this. Or, I mean, just think of all the listeners we have across the 200 outlets that we're on right now. If they actually take the time. Yeah, what? Go ahead, Tom. What?
Oh, I'm just thinking about, boy, if on 200 stations we had 10 people each who began praying for their pastor, that's 2,000 churches where we're having intercessory prayer and they're holding up the arms of their leader. That would be great.
Yeah, and again, if you can initiate it, and I don't think any church would not want to do that. Again, we're taking your calls. We've got one segment left, 877-548-3675. Questions about praying for your pastor, maybe ideas, questions for Tom, 877-548-3675. Hey, we're back at Stetzer Live. We're having a conversation with Tom Rainer in and around his new book, which is, and again, I should mention to you that he's got a whole lot of books. Go to edstetzerlive.com. You click through and all the books are listed in his bio. His new book is When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede for Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. And we're talking just about that. We've had some, I think, really helpful calls to help us think through some of these issues about how we would start such a process and more. Tom, I'm interested in, before we get to some final calls that we'll do a bit of a lightning round at the end, but I'm interested to see, what are some of the challenging issues that you would encourage people to pray for their pastor today that all of us can do, even before we get the book, though I encourage them to get the book, but what should we be praying for our pastors today?
I want to go back to the earlier question about family. So let's begin with family. Another one is criticism. It's endemic in any leadership position, not just in pastors, but it can be especially painful for leading a church. Pray for the preaching. Many times we don't think about that pastor is preparing a sermon throughout the week and then delivers it usually on a Sunday. And we pray for the preparation of the sermon. Pray for the work of the Spirit in the sermon. Just pray for those. Another one are special occasions, particularly funerals. A lot of people do not realize that pastors do very challenging funerals. Sometimes it could be suicide. Sometimes it could be someone who did not seem to be a follower of Christ. And how do you do a funeral like that? So you can pray for them in that way. And I would just say strength. There's a chapter in here, chapter 15, called weariness. Just pray for strength for your pastor. When a pastor tries to do things in his own mind or his own power, he's going to be weary at the least, burned out at the worst. And those are just some of the areas. But boy, if we had this revival of thousands of people praying for their pastors, I think we'd see a revival of the churches, and we would possibly even see a revival of our communities.
Yeah, and I do think, I mean, the subtitle is, you know, and subtitles are, I have a love-hate relationship with subtitles. Sometimes they're like, okay, and it's like, you know, they go on and on forever, but sometimes they're really necessary. And so it's, I mean, there is a benefit praying is its own good. We should pray, and praying for your pastor is its own good. And pastors and staff, the men and women serve you there. But I would also say too, it does lead to an impact in your church. You and I even wrote in a book we wrote together, Transformational Church, and talked about some statistical measures of people praying. It impacts your church for the positive. So, and we're going to jump to our calls in just a moment. So remember, we're going to head there. We're going to need our callers to be pretty quick, and then Tom will give a little quicker answers, and we'll do a kind of a lightning round. But how does it impact your church when you start praying for your pastor?
Well, first thing, it impacts you just simply because you are a praying person. You are in connection with God. And so God is working in your life through His Holy Spirit. So it impacts you. It impacts those around you because they see things different about you and the way you are, your disposition and things that you might say or do. It will impact the pastor as well. Even if the pastor does not know you're praying for him, it's going to impact the pastor. So just think about those things. It'll impact you. It'll impact those around you. And it'll impact the pastor. The benefits of prayer, and we should be talking about just having a conversation with God instead of self-serving benefits, but the benefits of prayer are ongoing and lasting for those who decide that they are going to take up the mantle to be a prayer warrior.
Love it. Love it. Okay, let's go to, I think it's Joe, who is in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where I used to live. Joe, you're live on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm going to try to be concise. First of all, thank you for having this program on today. I didn't know I needed as much as I do. And the Lord has really used it. I do pray. I'm 75. Sold out. I guess that's an old term. But I just, if I could make it quick, I came up where my parents sent me to all different kind of churches, Christian denominations at the time, preaching the gospel. And then finally, when I was away from the Lord, I was invited to a Baptist church, which did not sit well with me because I'd been hurt as a child in the Baptist church. That's not the key of my conversation. That church was an old country church. Nobody sung on key. Nothing was fancy. They loved the Lord.
Joe, I am so sorry to interrupt, but we're kind of running out of time, so I need you to get right to your question. So please go right to that question.
Okay, that's the background for 30 years I came up in. Mm-hmm. They didn't hand you a paper to tell you what to do next. Then, after years, I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. It's all these grand pianos. You sing on key. You do it this way, and they do preach the gospel. I've had a bad attitude about where I am.
Oh.
And
okay.
Really not like in the pastor so much after all these years. What I am going to pray for him more than I ever had before, and his wife, what would you say to a person like me who is actually, my background is belittled by the present. Oh, that was a cult. What would you say to a person like me? And I know they were both gospel preaching churches.
Yeah. No, super, super question. So kind of around, she mentioned she doesn't like the pastor. I think that's pretty transparent. She feels maybe sometimes belittles a little bit of the background that's there. I mean, what a great question, Tom. How do you pray? Because, I mean, there are people who don't necessarily like all that's going on in their church and their pastors. Talk to us about that.
I am not going to frame your pastor as your enemy, but I am going to say that Jesus said to pray for your enemies. And if Jesus said to pray for your enemies, if you have a problem with someone, pray for that person. That is challenging, but it is transformational. If necessary, go to that person and talk to them in the spirit of Christian communication. But above all, pray for those where you have a problem. You'll be amazed what God might do in your own life and your perspective about them.
Joe, thank you just being for transparent. Let me encourage you to hold on the line. We're going to give you a copy of When People Pray, an invitation to intercede for your pastor and revive your church. Going to go to Betty in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Another call from Pennsylvania. And Betty, we need you to jump right to the point. So you're live on the air. Go right ahead.
Right to the point. So we are starting a new prayer group in our church. We have a brand new pastor, and he came in, and behind him came a lot of the congregation that have all their wants and dreams fulfilled by this one pastor because we've been without. So how do we pray for the new guy to give good direction to the congregation, to bring us all together, give him vision for where we should be as the congregation, and to support him the best way we can specifically
in our
prayer, of course.
Betty, love it. And Betty and Joe, both hold on to. We're going to give you a copy of the book, When People Pray. Tom, what do you think? New pastor, how can she pray? We've got about 2 minutes left in the program.
She hit the nail on the head there. When a new pastor comes in, everybody thinks her own agenda is going to be met. Everybody being an exaggeration, hyperbole. But the new pastor, oh, I got a chance to get the music style I want. I got the chance to do these facility issues I want. I got the chance to get a new preacher that will be better than the previous. So it's very common what you're hearing here. So basically what you need to be praying for your pastor, I address in the second day, right after God, is wisdom. That pastor needs discernment. That pastor needs wisdom. That pastor needs to know when all of these voices are coming at him, where should he listen and where should he not? And I love the fact that you are coming, and I'm just looking at all of these, and Betty is our most recent, looking at all of these calls. And by the way, if you've noticed something, everybody that's been on the phone is a female. And that is something we noticed as well, that oftentimes the females in the church are the greatest prayer warriors. We need to do a study of the why on that. But for Deborah, Debbie, Jane, Joe, Betty, all of you, thank you for being an intercessor. And pray for this pastor. Man, he's got an opportunity, but he also has a lot of challenges because expectations will be high. And usually the expectations are for the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I.
Tom Rainer's been our guest. His new book is When People Pray, An Invitation to Intercede for Your Pastor and Revive Your Church. I always enjoy having Tom on programs and discussing. We've had him on the Stetzer Church Leaders podcast as well. So if you're a pastor, want to listen to that, it's more geared towards pastors on this journey. And of course, I love having you here with our broad Christian audience here, here on Ed Stetzer Live, Moody Radio partners and affiliates. Speaking of Moody Radio, let me thank our behind the scenes team here at Moody Radio. My producer is Karen Hendren. My engineer is Bob Moreau, and Laura is manning the phones. So to hear today's program again, you'll find it at edstetzerlive.com or on the Moody Radio app. Let me remind you, I mean, increasingly people like subscribe to this as a podcast, and you can listen whenever, because maybe Saturday morning or early afternoon, you're not always in your garage working, but you can subscribe as a podcast. You can't call in live, but you can subscribe as a podcast and listen as well. Again, connect with us through social media at Ed Stetzer Live, and Ed Stetzer Live is a production of Moody Radio. Moody Radio is a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. And my encouragement to you is pray for your pastor. And thanks, Tom Rainer, for helping us to do so.